I just have a few thoughts tonight. What a powerful time. A lot of tonight was taken out of the passage today of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, actually. And there's a couple of things that I want to call our attention to, and that is that there were four separate occasions in the text when Joseph had, there was an intervention by God. Three times in dreams, God told him to don't worry about the baby Jesus and where you're living and about Mary. Three separate occasions. And then, the fourth time, the angel visited. Four occasions in which Joseph, who obviously was the lineage of King David, God visited upon him and told him what to do. I believe, in like manner, that God will tell you what to do. When it's His plan and His objectives, He's going to make a way. He's going to make a provision. He's going to tell you that He wants you to do something. And then He's going to expect you to do it. He expected Joseph to go, and he went. This Christmas, the name Emmanuel, God with us, literally, before Jesus could become our Savior, He had to come to be born of a virgin, according to the prophets of old, and then die on this cross. And we'll celebrate that at Easter again. But we should have a day, a bit of Christmas in our lives every day, shouldn't we? Because the reflection of Jesus coming was a gift. And tomorrow, we will share and exchange gifts for those that practice Christmas in that way. And as in our household, it's an exchange of gifts that reflect Jesus' giving upon us, how He gave His life to us. And three or four times now in our family gatherings, in our church gathering as a group of people, we have read the narrative several times out of Matthew 1 and Luke 2. So if I have not made it abundantly clear, let me make sure I make it abundantly clear tonight, again, one more time, that Christmas is not about presents, but it is about a gift. A gift of our Lord. And He had to come. I thought of doing an extra song, and we might do it on Sunday. God with us. Mercy me. And we contemporized a lot of the hymns tonight. I hope you enjoyed that. The reason that we're here is for Christ, isn't it? Jesus. No other reason, really. We celebrate His birth. In the text, Joseph was reminded a few times. And look at there in verse 22 of Matthew 1. It says, all of this occurred, meaning all the things before and how the angel visited upon them and Mary was spoken to and so on. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. So you see, it was God's plan all along to send His Son Jesus to be our Savior. Israel was looking for the Savior, but it was for political reasons and military reasons to set them free from the hand of the tyrant Romans, and before that, whoever was the next on the chopping block. If you go through the Old Testament, you will see over and over and over Israel as a nation is punished by their enemies because of what? Disobedience. Imagine if the disobedience continued with Joseph. It could have. Joseph could have said, ah, I don't believe a word you're saying. These are mysteries and dreams. Everyone has dreams. That doesn't mean it's God. Everyone is visited by hallucinations, or are they? Once in a while, and we think we saw or we think we hear things we did or did not, and he could have rationalized how it was so that the angel was not of God. But my faith isn't like that. I don't look for every little nook and cranny of coincidence in my life suggesting that it is God, and I don't think you should either. Use your noodle. Use your brain. God gave you a brain. Reason is one of the foundations of coming up with good theology, and we're not going to get into that tonight. But reason is one of them. God gave you a brain. You say, God's going to heal me. Yes, but he might use the oncologist to do it. He might, I have a blood disease. Yes, I might have a blood disease. And I'm going to wait for God to heal me. Now listen, God could. He certainly could. But we have learned that normally he don't. And the reason he don't is because we got doctors that have 25 years of training who know what medicine to give you and who know how to give a course of treatment. He gave you a brain. Now, other thing I want to bring you with or leave you with tonight is notice what Joseph did. Two letters. G-O. He went. He went. He went exactly as God instructed him to do. So, what's the summary tonight? Because I said I was only going to preach for 10 minutes. What's the summary? God may visit you in dreams. I've had dreams that I'm convinced are of the Lord. I've had those dreams. You probably have had them too. Does God intervene in human affairs? He clearly does. And there's scripture evidence over and over and over and over in the Bible where he does interfere, or intervene is the better word. He intervenes in human affairs. I mentioned three or four of those on Sunday. Not only does God intervene in our lives, but he also has a plan for it, just like he did with Joseph. And when he gives you that plan, and when he provides to make to give you that plan, and he opens the doors for those plans, he's not only going to tell you what it is, but then he's going to expect you to go. God is a God of action. He surely is. And note here, and I'm going to say this one more time, notice what the birth of Jesus brings us. Great joy. Is it no coincidence that we like receiving presents? That we enjoy receiving gifts? Could that not also be from the hand of God? When we receive a gift, don't we feel special? When we exchange gifts with one, we're expressing our love and concern for someone else and doing something special for them. Maddie made me a cup the other day. It's my favorite cup in the whole world, Maddie, because you made it. I was going to say something funny, but I don't know how appropriate it is. It's the ugliest cup I've ever seen, but it's a great cup. No, it's a beautiful cup, because you made it. And I'm going to drink my espresso out of that all the time. Love that cup. It actually fits my hand, so you must. Did you think about how big my fingers were when you made it? No. See, that gift was important. More important than many of the gifts I've already received. Thank you for your kind words to Darcy and me and my family for this Christmas. But that gift was very important. Thank you, Maddie. It's very special because someone took their time, effort, energy, and hours. Literally, you have to bake it and all the things you have to do to make coffee cups. And she made it by hand as an artist. Very special. That cup will never have a pen in it, believe me. Maddie did. And God took the initiative in our lives, didn't he? When he sent his son to us, he took the initiative. Paul the Apostle said that while we were helpless and sinners, Christ came and died for us. While we were sinners, meaning our hand was caught red in the cookie jar. And yet, knowing that we failed, knowing that we didn't measure up to the law, as he knew we wouldn't, knew we couldn't live according to the way he had us live. He frustrated it. That was the whole point of Leviticus. I mean, even thousands of years later, we read Leviticus and we're totally frustrated by the end of the third chapter. Don't do this, do that, do this, don't do that, touch this, don't touch that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, it's a nice sermon if you work through about the middle of the book. I remember I was in seminary and he said, don't ever preach Leviticus. I was like, why would you ever say that? We're at a seminary. This is the place you're supposed to learn. Well, because there's not a lot to apply. I thought, this professor's got to get a new job. There's lots to apply in Leviticus. Point here is, God did. God did. Now, he didn't say through the prophets. He just didn't make promises to people. He did it. He came incarnate, God in the flesh. He did it. And then he went to the cross, become our Savior. And so this year, may you have great joy in the Lord. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, and the next, may you have great joy in knowing Christ, knowing that God will intervene in your life. And lo and behold, they found the baby, didn't they? There he was. It happened. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a myth. Even historical writers that were secular wrote about it. It was in Jerusalem, everyone was going crazy. The whole Middle East was in uproar over this. You remember that, don't you? You just go ahead and read some of those secular authors and read Josephus in particular, who was hostile toward Christians. And he even wrote about it at length. This event happened. Jesus was born, and Jesus died again. And so tonight and tomorrow and every day in your heart, God is with us. The reason we have a service like this tonight is, yes, we celebrate the life of our Lord. Yes, we celebrate his birth and we remember that. We take time in our schedules to remember that. We share presents and we have a holiday built around the coming of Christ. But remember, when you're in your deepest, darkest hour, when things aren't going well, maybe you're not in the black at the end of the month in the checkbook. Maybe the job is uncertain. Maybe the car is broke down and various other things are happening. Like they happen to all of us at some point. By faith, you must trust that God is with us. You have to believe that by faith. And then act upon it. The greatest love story ever told was God sending his Son to become our Savior. He provided a way for us to get back to him. And that's what we sing about, read about, and we even pray about tonight. In just a second, I'm going to take a special offering for Anoka Jail Ministry. Our church supports that ministry, and we want to take a special offering for that, just a little extra something for that, for those folks there. They're really appreciative of what we do for them. They're so grateful. Just a little something to help out. Doesn't matter why they're in jail, they're probably there because they deserve to be. They broke the law. They deserve it every bit. But you know what? We can offer them forgiveness, mercy, kindness. Those are fruits of the Holy Spirit, aren't they? Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and so on. So we'll take that offering, and tonight, it was the candle of Christ, and we celebrate the Advent season. This year we did it a little bit different. We have each week, it was the candle of peace was the last week, and now tonight we light the candle of joy. And having that joy, it's the candle of Christ. Because it certainly is all about Jesus. Finally, in Luke's second chapter, the narrative is similar to Matthew 1. In verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke, it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep." And we sang the song tonight, the first Noel. "And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior.'" See, we can't talk about the birth of Jesus because in the same sentence, it's talking about the Savior, our Savior. They go hand together. the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. And the children on Sunday had a great program where they had that little baby in the swaddles and put him in a manger. Wasn't quite a manger, but it has a wood floor at least. And suddenly the angel was joined in verse 13 by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth." In other words, God is proclaiming to you peace. Peace on earth. Peace, but in the heart. Because your relationship with God can be now reconciled because of Jesus' birth and his becoming our Savior. You can have peace in your heart with God. You must profess and confess him as your Lord. In Romans 10 and 13, it says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. That's why Jesus came. All, it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All. That means every one of us. And if you've never made that decision, you need to make it. You could walk out of here and get hit by a car and you will face your Maker. And had you not gotten your heart right with God, what does it mean? Will our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what it says at the end of the book. And by the way, we know the story and we know the end of the book. It says, for those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I never knew you is what Jesus is going to say. And go on, the angels are going to carry you away to a place that there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's not what I said. It's what it says in the Scripture. So that's why we need a Savior, because our sin has separated us from God. But God's good news, Jesus' good news, the good news of the gospel, is that you don't have to end in that fate because God has provided you a way to get back to him. Don't believe that God is in heaven waiting to punish you for the last and latest infraction. It's not true, because it says in verse 14, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth with those whom God is pleased." And it at least included Mary, Joseph, the angels, and the shepherds, and a few others that were there. He was at least, at the very bare minimum, talking about them. We know he was talking about much more than that. He was talking about mankind, like we sang in the first Noel, "Mankind hath not." That's right, because we can't get our way back to heaven. We are going to get there through the work of Christ, not our own. And so that is why it is so important that we remember that God is with us. God is with us. And it pleased him to come to earth and die in our place so that we could be with him forever and have peace on earth now. And that's the Christmas message. Team, would you come?